Reconciled to God, because that time's coming when you breathe your last and go out of this world. It's too late then. No reconciliation, no rightness with God then. It's too late, it's over. Now is the time, says God, now is the accepted time. Mother's enough. That's your mother. So don't delay, don't put it off, don't be a procrastinator, that is one who keeps putting things off. This is not something to be putting off until it's too late. Now is the time. Now the gospel, the good news, the glad tidings that's for all people is being declared to you here this afternoon. And this is your time, this is your opportunity of getting right with God, of being reconciled to Him, of receiving the love that's offered to you, the justification, the forgiveness that is, that's offered to you, pardon, a free pardon for all who believe, who trust in Jesus. Christ alone, faith alone, no works of yours or mine or anybody else's. Just simply and only the free grace, the free love of God set before you and offered to you here this afternoon. Take, receive Him, came to His own, the Bible says, but His own people, they did not receive Him, they rejected Him, but to as many as did receive Him, those who believed on His name, that is, trusted in His name, to them He gave the right, the authority to become children of God. So if you'd like to read about these matters, we have Bibles freely offered to you, New Testaments, they're going to see a Gospel of John, one that's been given away, offered to you quite freely. Read God's Word for yourself, read John's Gospel. As you can see, the person of Jesus Christ in all His power and divinity, in His manhood, the one Christ Jesus, the man Christ Jesus, the only mediator between God and man. You can read about Him in His Word. Read for yourself, study, meditate upon His divine person. See that He is indeed the Son of God, and able to save to the uttermost all who come to God by Him. If you'd like a copy of God's written Word, it's offered to you freely, no cost and no obligation to you. If a question pertaining to these matters, feel free to ask away. Having got the answers to all your questions, all your philosophical dilemmas, I do have the answer to the most important question of all, asked by one man in great trouble and distress. He cried, he said, "What must I do to be saved? Oh, would that you, knocking of sinners, would that you were brought to that place and cried out sincerely in the same fashion, 'What must I do to be saved?' And I would answer your question directly, sincerely, honestly. I would tell you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved." And you'd like somebody to pray for you for a reason, sick, unhealthy, need healing, or maybe perhaps in trouble. For whatever reason you're making or somebody else's, God save you, give you light and life and love and lasting joy, then I would be more than happy to do that for you also. Only here to point you in the right direction, and there's only one of those. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father only through me. No one that is gets right with God only through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the way, the truth, and the life. So listen up, Nottingham sinners. God's word for you here today. In a world, a bad, bad world, God so loved it that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, die in their sin, that is, and go to a lost eternity, but have everlasting life. The bad world, can't you see it? Don't you know it? Haven't you experienced it? The evil, the badness, the hopelessness, the dis-peace, you know, some people, you know, when I'm preaching and those smaller places, you know, it's a God's peace is a thief that lies. It's an everlasting thief. When it comes to you, that is. It's the peace of God that passes all understanding. And how do you get it? How do you get into it? How do you get it into you? You get it by faith in Jesus. And by faith in Jesus alone. Trusting in the crucified Redeemer, the one who died on Good Friday. Trusting in Him, believing in Him. You get the love of God. You get the exquisite, you get the immense, you get the free love of God. You get the free love of God that's beyond comprehension, that's inexplicable, I tell you. It's so good, it's so immense, it's so wonderful, it's so delightful, the loving kindness of God in Jesus Christ. Offered to you here this afternoon, dodging of sinners, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, a proper peace with God, and the peace of God through Jesus Christ, through His atoning sacrifice. He made peace, He made this peace, He made it by His blood, shedding His blood on that cross, so that your sins, that which causes the dis-peace, that which robs you of peace, because you don't trust in your Maker, because you don't trust in your Lawgiver, because you don't trust in the one who will be your Judge, because you don't trust in the one who will be your Redeemer, because you don't obey the very first commandment. What's the first commandment? You shall have no other God before Me. That's a call to faith. That's a call to trust in your Maker, your Lawgiver, your Judge, and the one who will be your Redeemer, and the one who would bring peace to you, His peace to you, His lasting peace, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. What causes the dis-peace? Why is there no peace in the world? Why is there no peace in your city of Nottingham? Why is there no peace, I ask you, in your family, in your homes? Why is there no peace in your heart? Because you've failed to obey that first commandment. That call to faith, to trust in your Maker. If you did, you would have peace. You would have His peace. Through Jesus Christ, His Son, that is the one who's the mediator, the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. You can only come through Him. You can only get anything from God through Him, only through Christ, only through Jesus, only through the Son of God. He died on that cross to make the peace, and rose again from the dead to justify you, clear you before God, in order that this peace might be here. Peace in your home, peace in your heart, peace in your life. All surpassing peace of God for the ones of believing, for the ones of trusting in the Son of God. This is the gospel, the kingdom of God. Life and power and peace and joy, eternal happiness, that's the kingdom of God, not religion. Not here to bring religion to you, that doesn't bring peace. I mean there's more trouble amongst the religious faction, more dis-peace there than anywhere else. I mean look at Muhammad's religion. If they're not fighting with us, they're fighting with one another. Then if they're done killing and fighting, there's no peace there. They call it a religion of peace. That's the joke of the century. Peace in Islam? They don't even know what the word means. No, there's no peace there. There's no peace in religion. There's no life in it. Dead religion, dead prophets can't put life and love and joy and peace into the souls of men and women. It's a living Savior that you need. One who has done the business. One who has conquered sin and death. One who has dealt with the cause of the dis-peace. And brought peace. Purchased peace. Made peace by His blood shed on that cross. So that you might enter the kingdom of God. How? But in the way of repentance and faith, as Jesus, believe, repent and believe the gospel, He says, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That's how you enter God's kingdom. The kingdom of peace, the kingdom of joy, the kingdom of love, God's kingdom. That's how you enter it. In the way of repentance, coming from your sin, something from all the causes that did thieves, and trusting in, believing, trusting in the one who made thief by his blood on the cross, even Jesus, trusting in him. So the word of God for you here today, Nottingham sinners, taken from the book of Romans, you want to check it out, chapter 15. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. The God of hope, the God of hope fill you. That's my hope, that's my prayer for you, Nottingham sinners, today, that the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. But it's in believing you can only get the joy, you can only get the peace, you can only get the hope in believing. But this gospel we bring to you again, this glad tidings to a world that's bad, to a world that's thoroughly evil, to a world, mankind without hope, men and women living in utter hopelessness and despair, even in your own city here, young people taking their own lives. Why? Because they run out of hope, because they get nothing to hope in, nothing to hope for. Because, you know, even the best of you, even those who are not in a state, a condition of despair like that, I mean, what hope do you have? What hope of what life? What hope do you have for the future? Well, the only hope you've got, the only thing you've got to look forward to, is the only certainty you've got, is the certainty of death. You get nothing beyond that. Doesn't matter what you achieve, doesn't matter what you accomplish, doesn't matter how clever, how smart you are, doesn't matter what kind of house you live in, doesn't matter how much money you've got. You know, that's all you, all you've got to look forward to is the absolute certainty of death. It's appointed to man once to die, after that then comes the judgment. That's all you've got to look forward to. And of course the very thought of it, knowing it, that's what lies at the end of your course, nothing but death, the absolute certainty, it spoils everything you do, spoils everything you achieve, spoils everything that you get, because you know it's not going to last, because death is coming for you, the grim reaper, that day is coming, it's been appointed of God, it's appointed for man once to die. Mark in God's calendar, the day, the hour, the moment when you'll breathe your last and go to this world. Yeah. So whatever you've got, whatever you accomplish, whatever you do, you know that day's coming when the grim reaper will come, wrap his slimy fingers around your soul, draw it out of your body, and return your spirit to God for judgment. That's your future hope, Nottingham sinner. Without Christ, without Jesus, without the Son of God, without his dying, his rising, without his justifying free grace, without his forgiveness, without the eternal life that he came to purchase for us, what we can't purchase for ourselves. You can't buy it, you can't be religious for it, you can't be good for it, you can't do nothing for it, none of what, says God. Not of works, he says. By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any works of yours or mine, you just take, you just receive, that's all. What's offered to you? The free grace of God in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And you get the peace of God that passes all understanding. And you get this hope, a real concrete hope, not the hope of this world, not the hope, you know, that maybe perhaps you'll win the lottery, you know, or something will come round the corner, something will turn up, something will happen. Empty vain hopes, you know, that you live with day by day that evaporate right in front of your faces. No, a real concrete hope, a sure hope, a hope that doesn't disappoint, that comes from the God of hope, and that sets hope before you here this very afternoon, Lord, at Nottingham Center, in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. the gospel of hope that comes to you from the God of hope. May it fill you. The apostle says, and my hope, my prayer for you today is this, that the God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope. Believing, 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 you get the hope. You get the hope of eternal life. You get the hope you see that doesn't disappoint. The hope that brings life eternal, life everlasting to you. Hope that doesn't disappoint. Why? Because Jesus has done the business. He's done the hard bit. He's done the work. So that we don't have to, we cannot work. He's done the dying. He's done the living. He's done the dying. He's done the rising. He's conquered sin and death and hell. His resurrection. Jesus of Nazareth, the man approved of God by his resurrection from the dead. God raised him from the dead. The wicked hands of cruel men nailed him to a cross. They didn't want to crucify him. They cried. Nailed to a cross. That's what it is. But God raised him from the dead. The God of hope. And the God of hope that would bring hope, fill you with hope today by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Should you believe, should you trust in Jesus Christ today, that hope would be yours. Abounding in hope, in believing and trusting in the Son of God, the lovely Son of God. He has defeated sin and death. He came, took our flesh, took our natures, became one of us, lived and loved and died. What for? To take away your sin? Take away the cause of the hopelessness. Take away your sin. Take away your guilt. Another cause of the hopelessness that fills your world, your society today. Take away the sin, the guilt, the shame, the blame. Take away everything that causes the disease and causes the hopelessness. He came. He came one of us, lived and loved and died. Take away your shame, your blame. Lift the curse and the wrath of God from off of you. Set you free and give you the hope of eternal life. In His Son, Jesus Christ, the God of hope, the God of hope presents you with, the God of hope sets before you an abounding hope, the hope of everlasting life. God so loved the world, this evil, evil world, so loved it that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believed in Him should abound in hope, should not perish, but have everlasting eternal life. Hope is one thing, but joy. A joy, Jesus says, a joy, unspeakable joy, the Bible describes it, inexpressible joy. A joy, says Jesus, a happiness that He gives that nobody can take away from you. And all they can, they maybe mock you and they maybe exclude you from their society. Oh, they might even kill your body, you know. They might even do away with you because you believe, you trust in Jesus. But the joy that He gives those who trust in Him, who believe in Him, can never be taken away from them. It's an inexpressible joy. And where does that joy come from? It's not the happiness of this world. That doesn't last either. That's like the world's peace, isn't it? It doesn't last, you know. How long does it last? As long as maybe you've got a pint of ale inside you, or a bottle of whiskey inside you, or a fix of drugs, or a shock of the materialism. You know, the prosperity that you have abounding today. This is a lot. Take these things away. Take these things away. And the joy goes with it. The happiness is after it. Does it last? 5 minutes, that's all. But that's the happiness of this world. transient, not lasting. And this joy, this happiness, Jesus says, this joy nobody, but nobody can take it away from you. It lasts forever, for time and for eternal. Everlasting joy, everlasting happiness. You want that, Nottingham? Well, it's an offer today in Jesus, in Christ. Only in Jesus. You can only have it through Him. And you can only have it through trusting in Him, believing in Him. You can only have it through faith in Him. But it's offered to you, set before you. A joy, an eternal joy, eternal happiness. Happy forever. Joy inexpressible and full of glory. Where does this happiness, where does this joy, where does it come from? How is that possible, you say? Well, it comes from this, knowing that you're right with God, knowing that you have peace with God, knowing that you have the hope of eternal life, knowing that your sins have been dealt with, knowing that the root cause of all the trouble, the dispute, the unhappiness, and the hopelessness, where does all that come from? What's the root cause of it? Sin in the human heart. But all of us, every one of us, conceived in sin, born in sin, and live and die in sin, in hopelessness and misery, without peace, without hope, without joy, without happiness, die in utter misery. The root cause of it is sin. Your world, you see, wants to deal with the effects, doesn't want to deal with the cause. The cause is sin. The cause is sin in our hearts, in our very DNA. It runs through the very fiber of your being. It's what you are before God. It's what you are before God. It's all you are before God. A piece of walking, talking, breathing sin, that's all. And that's where all the trouble in your world, that's where all comes out, because all comes out of that same root, all comes out of that same fountain. But shut that fountain, cut it off, close it down, deal with the root cause. And the trouble, the hopelessness, the despair, the unhappiness goes away. But that's what Jesus came for. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came to deal with the root cause, not the effect. The politicians, that's what they do. They promise you, oh, we'll deal with the effects. We'll make you happy. Yeah, we'll give you what you want. We'll throw money at it. But it doesn't work, does it? It doesn't last. Not even for 5 minutes does it last. Jesus came to deal with the root cause. He came to deal with the sin, and that's what He did. That's why it's Good Friday. It's a Good Friday because the Son of God died on that cross. To deal with the root cause, to deal with sin, Christ Jesus came into the world not to make you healthy, wealthy, prosperous, but to deal with your sin. That's where the happiness, that's where the joy comes from knowing your sin, that the root cause has been dealt with, that the sin has gone away, been taken away. Try the Bible calls Jesus the Lamb of God. Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, takes it so far away, your sin, so far away that not even God Himself can find it anymore. Takes it away, obliterates it, gone, and gone forever once Jesus deals with it. That's what He came for. That's what He does. He's still doing it today. And He rose again from the dead to put the seal on it. Puts the seal on everything that He said, everything He taught, and everything that He did. His dying, His living, His loving, His dying, all sealed by His resurrection. Proof, evidence, shown to be the Son of God with power by His resurrection from the dead. I set before you, offer you here this afternoon, a risen, conquering Savior, not a dead religion, not a dead prophet, a risen Savior who's alive and alive forevermore, and would bring hope, abounding hope, I tell you, joy, eternal happiness to your soul. It can never, never, never be taken from you, never removed from you. But it's in believing. Believing, well, you see, I believe, I got my own belief. But did they cause you to abandon hope? Did they bring peace to your soul? Did your belief have they reconciled you to God? It's not just believing in anything. Oh, people say to me, well, it doesn't matter, as long as you believe in something, you know. You can believe in Santa Claus, that'll only make you happy for 5 minutes. If that.
Bible free?
No, friend. It's important what you believe. It's only believing the truth. Believing the truth that will make you free. It's believing the truth that will bring hope to you. Abounding hope. Peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding, and there's joy inexpressible, and full of glory, eternal happiness. It's through believing, in believing, the Bible says, in believing what? In believing the gospel, in believing the truth about Jesus, the Son of God. Was there just another man that died on that cross on Good Friday? It was the Son of God. It was God the Son who died on that cross on Good Friday. It was divine blood that was shed on that cross.
About me?
Not just the blood of an ordinary man.
I live here.
It was divine blood that was shed on that cross. It was the Son of God. His person. He suffered and bled and died and rose again from the dead. And that's what puts the seal. That's where the power lies. Power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes into Jesus. Believe into Him. And you abound with hope. You get filled with joy. And you get filled with peace in believing. But if you don't believe it, you won't believe. If you refuse to believe, you reject the Son of God. You get nothing. All the blessings of God, all of them are to be found or to be gotten in Christ and in Christ alone. I don't have nothing. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. In believing, filled with joy, filled with hope from the God of hope, and filled with the peace of God, passes all understanding. Peace with God has by the blood of His cross. By the blood of His cross. Peace with God. The love of God. The joy of God. The hope of God. The peace of God. The whole thing, yes, all of it becomes yours, given to you.
And bow this palm.
A gift from God, the grace of God, through faith, through believing, by the grace of God. And that grace coming to you, that grace set before you, offered to you here, this very afternoon here, in Nottingham City Center, freely offered to you. Jesus Christ, from His throne of glory, this very afternoon, pleads with you and implores you to be reconciled to God while you may. God's love for you, the love of God and Jesus Christ, the great, the vast, the immense love of God, the generosity of the heart of a God of love. He's a God of hope. He's a God of peace. He's the God of love. Who has proved, has demonstrated, you may hate Him, and you may hate His servants, you may hate the proclaimers of His message, but that doesn't change Him. That's not His attitude towards you. His attitude towards you is one of love, and His love is offered to you. His love is set before you. You take, you simply receive the gift of God, the gift of His free love. Free, I tell you, absolutely free. Your name is Noel. It's not to understand about the one free. It's freely offered to you, and you freely simply take. Ask a child, how do you receive a free gift? You just reach out your hand, they'll tell you, and you just take what's offered to you. Well, that's how you receive the love of God. That's how you receive this hope. That's how you receive this joy. That's how you receive the peace of God. That's how you receive the forgiveness of God. It's not by work. You can't do anything for it, be anything for it. All you are is a sinner. All you are is cut off, alienated from God, with no peace, with no hope in this world and the life to come. Nothing at all, nothing at all. But God stretches out His hand to you, stretches out His arms to you all day long. A rebellious people, transgressors, breakers of His law, and He stretches out His arms to you all day long. Be reconciled to me, He pleads with you.
In 15 days, I will see you.
What more can He do for you? Nothing on sinners. What more can He do for you? What more can He do for your world? What more can He do for your city? What more can He do for your family? What more can He do for you personally? What more can He do for you? He's given you His very best. He's given you His only begotten Son. His one and only Son. And given Him up to the death of the cross. To suffer, to bleed and die upon that cross. Rise again from the dead. I mean, what more can He do? And on top, having done all that, pleads with you that you be reconciled to Him in order that He might bless you, in order that He might give to you. Not that He wants anything from you. Simply wants to give to you. And still you won't have it. Still you won't have it. But I tell you, the day's coming. The day's coming when God's going to judge us all. He's going to judge you and I both. We're going to stand before the judgment throne of God. And in that day, think of it, not your sinners. In that day, you stand before God. He's going to judge you. He's going to judge you a sinner. And in that day, you'll know what you are, and you'll know who He is. And having been entreated by His love, having been offered His love, offered His forgiveness, offered His hope, His peace, His joy, having all set before you, offered to you in plain simple terms, just simply given to you, but you wouldn't have it. How do you think you're going to feel in that day? How do you think you'll feel then? And how do you think you'll feel when He says to you, in response to your unbelief, your rejection, your refusal, how do you think you'll feel when He says to you, depart from me for all eternity. Depart from me. Get out of my sight. I never knew you. How do you think you'll feel then? Well, the Bible gives us an inclination. Something like this. Something like your bones shaking so violently inside of you that you'll be unable to stand. Your heart will be melting in fear such as you've never known, never imagined possible. And my friends, alienated from God now, alienated from the life of God now, from the love of God, the peace of God, the hope of God, alienated from everything and anything to do with God now, now in time in this world, while you walk and breathe His air. But then I tell you, for all eternity, and punished for it, for refusing to take the gift freely offered to you. All you had to do was reach out the hand, take the gift offered to you, the love offered to you. All you had to do was receive it, but you would not. You would not. You cast it in his faith, and in that day, he will punish you for your sins, for your unbelief. And that punishment will be more dreadful than anything you can ever possibly imagine. Why? Why should it be that way? Why does it have to be that way? Because your crimes, you see, not just against the state, not just against the state, your crimes are against an eternal God, and so the punishment is eternal too. Today is set before you the way of hope, the way of peace, the way of joy, the way of reconciliation, the way back from that alienation, the way of healing, eternal life and the last day life set before you and offered to you in the love of God, in the love of Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he sent his Son. His Son so loved the world that he came, lived and loved and died, and rose again from the dead in order that there's hope, in order that there's peace, there's joy, in order that this eternal life might be yours through faith in his name, believing, trusting, putting your confidence fully and completely in him, his person, and all that he has done. His dying, his rising, his working, not yours. No works of yours, not at all. Nothing for you to contribute, because you've got nothing to offer. All been done by Jesus, by the Son of God. He's done the work. Your place is simply to trust. Your place is simply to come. Come to me, he says, and I'll give you rest for your soul. Peace with God, that is, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Come, he says. Come one, come all. Whole city of Nottingham, there's room for you all, every single one of you. Come to me, says Jesus. Look to me and be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Come, but don't delay. Now is the day, says God, now is the time. The only time you've got, you haven't got tonight. You haven't got tomorrow, you haven't got Sunday, you haven't got your imaginary old age. All you've got now and now, now God is offering himself and his Son Jesus Christ to you. Take it, the free gifts of God, receive, believe, and he, Son of God, mighty to save, be yours. You'd like to have a copy of God's Word, check these things out for yourself. You've got Bibles, New Testaments, Gospels of John. You'd like to read God's Word for yourself, check these things out. See that they're so offered to you quite freely. No cost, no obligation to you, none whatsoever. And if you have a question pertaining to these matters, feel free to ask away. Like somebody to pray for you, then I would be more than happy to do that for you also. And we pray that God would save you, that God would give you the faith that you need, that God would grant you the repentance that you need, that God would grant you life in the name of his only begotten Son, my Lord Jesus Christ. As I said before you here this afternoon, Nottingham sinners, you like somebody to pray for you for whatever reason at all, feel free to come and ask. Glad to do so. But being as you won't come to me, I come to you, reach out to you, and name of God's Son, Jesus Christ, and I shall pray for you anyway, for every single one of you here this afternoon. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, in your name, I pray that you would come to this city of Nottingham, that your Holy Spirit would brood upon this city center here, these people before me who today are hearing your word of grace and salvation, that you would so move, convince them of their sin, of the evil hearts of unbelief, and that you would save according to your divine will and purpose. That you would, Lord, have mercy, I say, upon this city of Nottingham, Lord Jesus Christ, in your name. Amen.